Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Over the past couple of decades, a growing body of research has established a link between cruelty to animals and future violent crime. For those working on the front line with troubled kids, they know how creating empathy towards animals can help break the cycle of a victim later becoming a perpetrator. Katie and Dean Shannon run a kennel called Two Brown Dogs and a Cat in Greymouth, and they regularly work with youth justice kids carrying out community service. And they've just written a book called It's Not the Dog We're Training. And Katie joins us now. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Oh, what a great initiative. Am I right in thinking this book is the sort of the combination of years of experience?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's everything we've learned along the way, all the highs and all the lows.
I'm in two minds about whether to ask you to share this story, but it goes a long way to explaining how you got into this area. So I understand you had a really traumatic experience when you were young.
Yeah, I did. I had my wee dog Stubby come and take in the middle of the night as a vendetta towards one of my brothers, and they took my dog and they ran him over. And as traumatic as that was, I managed even as an 11-year-old to be able to see a silver lining and turn that into a desire to get people to think about animal empathy and actually get people to learn that animals, you know, have feelings and are warm, magical creatures, you know. And it's what's driven me to work with the kids and work with the dogs and get people, you know, having a relationship with their dogs.
I'm really sorry to hear that. Thank you for telling that story. And actually, I mean, it's amazing that you turned that into compassion rather than anger. I'm sure there was some anger there.
Yeah, and it's really interesting in my family dynamics that when the next generation hears the story, you know, they want to know those people's last name.
You became an animal empathy educator. So what is that exactly?
Oh, so I was working for the SPCA, just travelling up and down the West Coast, just teaching kids to be kind to animals, teaching them basic animal rights. So that's food and water, love and shelter, exercise and vet care. So just teaching the kids, you know, what the law is around having an animal and hoping that the kids will think about, you know, that might be related to them and their own basic human rights as well.
This is a big question, but can empathy be learnt?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we work with rats as well, and we get kids who are absolutely terrified of rats. And we tell them that, you know, if you can get a rat to clean itself up on you, then that rat feels safe on you. And that becomes like a desire for these kids. They're like, can I hold the rat? And then the squeals that happen when they're like, look at the rat, you know, because the rat's cleaning itself up on them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Empathy can be learnt.
Well, tell me about you and Dean. And obviously, Dean had a similar sort of approach to life and desire to do some good in the area of animal treatment.
Yeah, so Dean does the tough stuff, which is quite good. He works with the aggressive dogs. So Dean's got a magical little staff grudge that he puts in the paddock with the aggressive dogs. Grudge never starts a fight, but he certainly doesn't shit off other dogs either. So he's great. When a dog approaches him, Grudge will put him in his place, and then we'll start working with the dog as part of a pack, which is a dog is naturally a pack animal, eh? They actually want to be in a pack. So once they learn their place in the pack, they become happy creatures.
Gosh. How did you work all this stuff out? You know, is it
trial and error, Jesse?
Yeah.
Trial and error. We got
sorry, you just dropped out there. Say again that part.
We got bitten lots.
Did you? Gosh. But you're pretty sure that your way, the way that you've worked out how to do it is scientifically robust and achieving the sorts of things that you want.
No, Jesse, no. This is just what works for us.
Okay, cool.
You know, this is what works for us. We just wanted to share that because we do dog obedience classes here on the coast. We're always getting approached by the community saying, hey, how do I get my dog to, you know, stop humping? How do I get my dog to walk on a loose lead? How do I get my dog to come back when I call it? And it's just the culmination of all of those questions just put into a book so that we can hand it out and say, here, here's your answers or here's your inspiration. There's nothing scientific about it. It's just what we've done.
But I think, I mean, you might be selling yourself short there because when you do the same thing 100 times and you work out what works and what doesn't work, that's science, right?
Well, I suppose. Yeah, actually, when you put it like, we've done it thousands of times.
Tell me about the kennel and how and why you got it started.
So that's when I was doing the animal empathy education. We recognised a need in the community for a safe, healthy kennel set up. So we board cats and dogs, but more importantly to us, when we've got a customer who's coming in and they have an emergency, we board their dog or cat for free for however long it takes while they go to Christchurch, get chemo, or they bury their loved ones or whatever it is that's happened to them. And sometimes that's meant that the owners have actually gone to Christchurch, had chemotherapy and passed away, and we've been left with their dog, in which we've embraced and loved and cared for until we can find it the perfect home.
Gee, you guys are really doing this out of a greater purpose, huh?
Yeah, this isn't about the money. This is about the dog.
What can you articulate your purpose there? You know, have you got a kind of a mission statement or probably nothing that formal?
I think it's about getting people communicating and getting relationships happening between humans and dogs, people seeing that connection and creating a relationship between humans and dogs.
Sounds like a pretty dreamy place for the dog. How big is it?
Oh, we're on 10 acres. I say to people, my name's Katie. I live on 10 acres. I work with dogs and teenagers, and I yell a lot.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even got to the teenagers yet. So where do they fit in?
So teenagers, I don't know whether it's some sort of attraction, but we've always got teenagers here. But we do work with the youth justice kids that come through the courts, and they ask to have their community services with pets. So we get them in and generally just start at the beginning, teaching them a little bit of communication skills, you know, teaching them to use their words. Lots of the youth justice kids and teenagers in general just grunt, you know. So we get them to, you know, excuse me, please, start there, use your words, and then it's communicating with the dogs. You know, tell the dog what you want it to do. You know, grudge come, grudge sit, stay, wait, leave, walk, you know, all of those simple basic commands. Once your dog knows what you want it to do, it'll do it because all the dog wants to do is please you. And then when your dog's doing it, praise it for doing it, and then it's going to want to do it again. So it's like flipping the script for these kids who are used to just like yelling and dragging and ignoring or getting, you know, upset about how the dog's behaving, and actually encouraging them to just support the dog and congratulate the dog and celebrate the dog. And, yes, you did it, you know, that sort of stuff.
Does this stuff work?
Yeah, it really does.
And again, not because you've been and done a degree in social work.
No, it's because I've been in a paddock with dogs for 20 years, do you think?
Yeah. And you talked to me about how sometimes people would drop their dogs off to you and then you wouldn't see the owner of the dog again. Do you have a similar sort of thing happen with kids from time to time?
Have I ever had that? No, actually, it's been really interesting. The parents, wonderful. Once the parents have got some tools and they know, you know, they know how to praise the good, they find the parents. So some of the times the kids come with the parents, which is wonderful.
Sorry, you're just dropping out a wee bit there, Katie. If I miss anything that you're saying, it's just a little reception issue we've got. We haven't even got to Norm Hewitt. There's a name people, in particular Wellingtonians, will remember with a smile. Where does he fit in?
Oh, so Norm was my inspiration. I worked with Norm as an animal empathy educator. So Norm was running out the One of the Family program throughout the country. And when he was on the West Coast, I was his sidekick. So watching him work as magic was what inspired more was capable of that inspired me to do the same sort of.
I'm really enjoying talking to you. I'm just so sorry that we've got a bit of a reception issue at the moment. Is there any chance that you could go somewhere where the aerial might work a little better, Katie?
Okay, well, how's that?
Oh, that's really good, yeah. Can you answer that question again? Can you answer that question again about Norm, how he fits into your situation there?
Right, sorry. Norm Hewitt is my inspiration. I worked with Norm as part of the One of the Family program when he was running out the animal empathy program for the SPCA throughout the country.
Mm.
When he was on the West Coast, I was his sidekick. Mm. So I got to watch Norm's magic work with kids, and I got to watch Norm teach animal empathy in a way that just made kids get it and want to do it. So Norm's been a big drive and a big inspiration for me.
Yeah, he's been through plenty himself, hasn't he?
Hasn't he? And it's nice to come out the other side and want to change things, you know?
Yeah. Where does Youth Justice fit in? They can obviously see that you're doing some good here. Are they happy to have a relationship with you? That obviously, you know, they can see some progress being made, and they're keen for you to be part of their kind of program of activity with these kids.
Yeah. So the Youth Justice, they're led by the kids. So when the kids ask to do the service, then they approach us. So there are perpetrator-driven, really, I suppose you could say. So whenever we get one that asks to do community service with the kids, then when they make contact with us, they're lovely to work with.
Tell me, while we've still got a little bit of life in that phone, tell me about the book and why you decided to put your learning into the book.
It was for the kids initially. I wanted to write the book for the kids so that they could have something to take home. And I want to get this book into Justice facility, but then it turned out to work perfectly alongside our dog obedience class. So now it's like a handbook for dog lovers. It's not only about the Youth Justice kids, but it's about anybody that's got questions. You know, if they've got a dog and they've got questions they need answered. But it came about because my friend wanted me to write, and she died at Christmas last year. And I wove her casket out of the flax here on the homestead, and the family gave me a poha of $1,000, which I then decided at her funeral to use towards the illustrator was at the funeral too, Johnny Devine. He illustrates moments in time, and he had come to Tanya's funeral to sketch her fresh dug grave for the family. And I asked him to be the illustrator the same time her daughter said she had a friend who was an editor. So it all just came together on that one day, and now the very last word and the very last page is my friend's signature as a nod to her.
So fair to say, plenty of love in the book, Katie, and a little bit of pain too.
Yeah, it's the highs and the lows, and it's the dog's journey right from the hello to the goodbye and the whole roller coaster ride in between, you know, and I hope everybody enjoys it and gets something out of it. And I hope that dogs in the country get a better life because of it.
Yeah, and we sort of we touched on this briefly, but what sort of a difference can this make? And I'm talking about the young people now. How much of a difference can this sort of animal empathy therapy make to somebody? Can it be life-changing, do you think, or is it more just some sort of positivity in a pretty tough life?
You know, when you're teaching kids how to say no, it's a pretty powerful thing, Jesse. You know, when you've got a kid with a dog who you're teaching to communicate, to get the dog, you know, don't let the dog jump on you. Tell them no. Tell them what you want them to do. Get off. And then praise them for sitting down beside your feet. Then you're teaching that kid how to say no. And you're giving them the kaha to say no when a person crosses their boundary as well. So it looks like we're just teaching kids how to deal with dogs. We're actually giving them the encouragement to say no, to ask for what they want, to praise the good behaviour. I think it's life-changing, definitely.
I've got a text from Mark. He says, Jesse, Katie is using science in training her dogs and teenagers. It's the science of behaviour. I use the same science when dealing with non-verbal autistic students with complicated behaviours. it works. So, you know, whether you've stumbled into it or not, you seem to have got the stamp of approval from somebody who knows what they're talking about, Katie.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that.
Hey, stay in touch. Let me know what you're up to, and I suspect probably even bigger things in your future, you and your partner. So thank you very much for telling us the story so far, and to you and Dean, good luck.
Thanks very much for having us on board.
Katie and Dean Shannon, and the book is called It's Not the Dog We're Training.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.